Check this out.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me just get this off my chest, too.
Check this out.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rodgers is...
We could talk Rodgers forever. They don't care what he does off the field.
We just win.
This stuff that you think is a distraction. Players don't care about that stuff. They love this guy as a teammate.
Today's guests, NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson, Saints head coach Dennis Allen, Bills head coach Sean McDermott, two-time Emmy Award winning actor Bobby Cannavale. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Greg Olson's going to be joining us shortly. We just chatted with Dennis Allen of the Saints. Hour three, Sean McDermott of the Bills, and then one of my favorite actors and friends joining the program, Bobby Cannavale. It'll be a lot of fun. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts, and Chris Brockman are in their positions.
Yo.
Good to see TJ Jefferson. The candle is lit. Good to see you over there, sir.
What's up, everyone?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
I'd like to know.
And sorry to bring this up, but I'm going to have to.
Oh, what do we got?
Because, there are sports teams that we all love for ourselves. We've rooted for certain teams. We've rooted for certain franchises. They represent the city we grew up in, right?
Totally.
And then some of these teams have players on them that spark runs, or the teams themselves collectively. You just love watching them play as a unit. Team sports gives that to you, right? You watch them come together and grow and maybe surprise you. Just as a, for instance, you know, from my hometown of New York City, the Knicks this year. That's one of those teams this year. Rangers together, right? I just saw the Yankees last night. I'm beginning to feel like this could be a very special team.
Yeah, they're balling.
I mean, Luis Gil, in particular, the young right-handed pitcher for the Yankees who just finished one of the most incredible months of May. First pitcher in the history of the Yankees organization to have over 40 strikeouts and an ERA less than 0.75 in any calendar month in any year in the history of the New York Yankees. And think of the pitchers who have pitched for the Yankees. Luis Gil.
Whoa.
Just completed that in the month of May last night with 8 innings of 1-run ball, 9 strikeouts last night. And again, just you share these moments with your kid like I was able to do last night with Coop. Those are those teams. And then you got the New York Mets of 2024.
Man, quite the windup.
You should have saw that coming. You had to have seen that coming, right?
I mean, there is a dumpster fire right now. And listen, I want Juan Soto to stay put. He can go anywhere. Steve Cohen has more money than anybody else, I believe, in Major League Baseball to burn and spend and whatever. And boy, is he spending it. You remember the best team money can buy, or the worst team money can buy, the Mets had for all those years ago? I mean, we haven't had anybody threatening a reporter yet. We haven't had anything like that yet. But this team is getting there. They're 16 games out of first place, 11 games under 500. And yesterday, with their closer out with an impinged shoulder injury, Edwin Diaz is out again. Jeez. Pete Alonso takes a ball off his hand when the Dodgers come into town. He's out. They have just been one miserable moment after another. I mean, you hear Gary Cohen and Ron Darling and Keith Hernandez, a little piece of them like die inside on live SNY television every single inning, it feels. And you feel for them. They're a terrific broadcast team. And then obviously you got some championship players that are in that booth. And you just hear them. They're like, man, wow, this is... It just gets lower each day.
We knew this was going to be a bad season coming into it, but jeez.
So
up to it.
I just saw a video of Harrison Bader, their left fielder, right? Mm-hmm. Who was on the Yankees last year. The Mets asked him to name them his New York Mount Rushmore athletes. The first three names out of his mouth were Yankees.
Well, that makes sense.
Dude.
Strawberry, Seaver.
Okay. I mean, I believe their names. I believe that. I believe their names are probably all on the wall. You know, so. Eighth inning against the Dodgers.
Ed Cranepool? I mean, come on.
Tied at three against the Dodgers, okay? Heading into the eighth inning. The Dodgers wound up putting a six spot up in the eighth inning on three relievers. One of them, Shohei Ohtani, it's a three-run home run.
Bomb.
Okay?
Hey, there's no...
Off
you know,
of...
what are you going to do?
You know, off of Jorge Lopez. It's a 3-1 count on Freddie Freeman, and I'm watching. You could see the video of the broadcast. They're showing a replay of the Ohtani Oppo blast, okay? And Lopez starts arguing or says something to Ramon De Jesus, the third base umpire, who ejects him from the game. Out in the middle of the count to Freddie Freeman. Bass. See ya. Get out.
Poor officiating.
And Lopez, as he's being ejected, takes his glove and throws it over the netting into the stands.
I have no problem with this. He was giving the fan a souvenir. What are we talking okay. about?
Now listen. What happens next, you need to take into account of two things. First of all, from what I'm reading, Lopez has had his issues on the field and off it as well. And English is a second language for him. So what happened next is truly something that you just very rarely hear. It sounds like he's calling his team the worst team in baseball. Check it out.
Just to clarify what you said, just because I didn't fully understand. Did you say I'm on the worst team? Is that what you had said?
Yeah, probably. It looked like.
And that they were embarrassed by you? Is that what you...
Yeah, they do.
So play the first soundbite first right here. Here you go. Roll it.
Carlos Mendoza said that he understands the emotion, but that particular action of throwing your glove into the stands was unacceptable. Looking back on it, do you regret doing that?
No, I don't regret it. I think I've been looking the worst team in probably in the whole MLB. So, you know, whatever happened. So, whatever they want to do, I'll be tomorrow here if they want me, you know, whatever they want to do. So, I'm going to keep doing this thing, you know, so I'm healthy on whatever, you know, on whatever to do, you know, I'm ready to come back tomorrow if they want me to be here, so I'll be here.
Do you think they don't want you to be here?
I don't know. You look embarrassing, so, you know, it's their faces. I'm proud to be here every day, so it's the worst thing to be out, but, you know, I don't care. Just about Luke.
So, again, English is a second language for him, and it sure sounded like he called the Mets the worst effing team in baseball. But he says it's, you know...
I think I've been looking like
I'm the worst. Said. And yeah. Folks were then saying, it sounds like he's saying I'm the worst teammate. And then you could also hear him say, you know... you look, they're embarrassed on their faces. It sounds like, in that light, they're embarrassed watching him, and yeah, he feels bad, and he's just like,
that's how I took it.
You know, I don't know if they even want me here anymore. And right. So, and the argument that occurred on Twitter all night, back and forth, turned this into like the whole sort of like sports soundbite version of Laurel and Yanny. Like you had to like hear what are you hearing? I hear one thing, you hear another thing, but it's really the same soundbite, you know? But Laurel. Steve Gelbs of Sportsnet New York did ask him a follow up, like point blank, to be clear. Listen, this is what he asked him.
Just to clarify what you said, just because I didn't fully understand. Did you say I'm on the worst team? Is that what you had said?
Yeah, probably. It looked like.
And that they were embarrassed by you? Is that what you...
Yeah, they do.
So you're saying both. Yeah, I said I'm on the worst team, and you're saying they're embarrassed by you. And he's like, yeah. So, you know, it's very difficult to pick up what he's saying, but... Francisco Lindor held a 30-minute players-only meeting after all of this. Because it is hard to argue. The Marlins have a worse record than the Mets. 20-37. The worst record in Major League Baseball belongs to the White Sox. They're 15-42.
Yeah, they're bad.
Okay. But you can't argue with the statement that the Mets are one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball right now. They're injured. They are broken. They are a team that is lost. 16 games behind the Phillies right now.
They still have leads against the Dodgers in all of these games.
I understand, but, you know, bad teams blow leads at the end, and then they start steamrolling and what have you. But, you know, apparently the Mets are DFAing Lopez. That hasn't been made official yet, but that was the word, is that which means they've got 7 days to trade him, send him down,
just looking
or
for
just
it,
cut
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
It is brutal what is happening right now there. And I just want to be fair here, because it does sound like he's saying I'm the worst teammate and that they're, you know, if I'm the Mets, I get an interpreter immediately to stand next to him and have the full on, like, let him speak in his own native tongue to describe his feelings. Unless they have just seen enough and they know enough and this is enough. And they'll just send him packing and give him a fresh start somewhere else. It's tough, man. I honestly, you know, Mets had a nice stretch for like 2 weeks where it looked like they were turning things around, and then it just hit south again. And I'll tell you what, man, and I'm not saying this because I'm, you know, rooting for the team on the other side of town who is suddenly no longer the biggest spender in town. But why in the hell would Juan Soto want to join something like this? Why in the hell would anybody want to join something
Great
like
question.
This? Why would anybody want any piece of this at all? And why wouldn't the Mets right now start calling people up with Alonso out and Diaz out and this guy being DFA'd and Lindor having players-only meetings and whatever? Why wouldn't they start knocking on other doors and just burn it down and start from scratch? If you're Steve Cohen, you're spending $300 million, and this is what we're talking about today.
Yeah, like I said, by all accounts, at the end of last year, this year was going to be a train wreck, and it is living up.
I'll tell you what, dude. This is what's really even crazier, okay? The Mets have, again, a 22-33 record, a winning percentage of .400, which is a worse winning percentage than the team whose owner is moving the franchise to Sacramento, removing any team location from the name of the team, and is saying, can't wait to bring everybody to a minor league stadium to watch other team stars homer here and make this a destination for people to come and hang out with 9,000 of their best friends. They're worse than that franchise.
Just by a game.
Dude.
And vibes.
And vibes, too. I mean,
the A's have one of the most exciting pitchers
dude,
in
Mason
all of
Miller.
Baseball.
Mason Miller
I mean, the
is
Mets,
must watch.
What is
period.
Exciting about the Mets?
Mason Miller is one of the best pitchers in baseball.
I've heard people talk about that he should start the All-Star game.
Oh, start the All-Star game? I don't know, man. Why not?
Why not? Why not?
Well, it's just because he's not a starter, but in this day and age of baseball.
Who cares?
But just call him an All-Star opener.
Exactly.
But he's like, that good. He is that good.
But imagine him facing Betts, Otani, Freeman to start the All-Star game.
And that's the whole thing, too, is this team's in New York City, and that's why we're talking about it in a way right now. Baseball has so many young stud stars.
So many.
I mean, when I was driving home, and I'll be honest with you too, I'm always shooting you straight here, man. And I try to stay on top of as much as possible. And I do love baseball. We talk more baseball on this show than I think many other shows. Yeah. Okay. Oh. And we don't usually even say that sort of thing. But Coop was driving home last night from Anaheim, and he was on the MLB app. And we were going down he was saying to me the position rank rating in our fantasy league that we're in right now of which player. And he was like, guess which player is like the 15th position rank, you know, overall. And I'm like, I don't know, man. And he goes, I'm like, give me a hint. And he goes, NL East. And I start naming a couple players, and then he goes, no. And he names a player, hadn't heard of the guy's name. And I'm straight up with you. And I need to learn more about that sort of stuff because I do love baseball.
Yeah.
But baseball has got that. And I don't mean to make the Mets a larger issue of baseball, but there are tons of young studs in this sport. And the Mets, man, I feel for you, dude.
I'm good.
So to make up for it, later on in this hour, I'll show you pictures of Intuit Dome. Because Susie took a hard hat tour of it for your Clippers.
Oh, another.
That's going to be sweet. No, seriously, man.
Be disappointed, much no, like
no,
City Field.
No, no, but you're going to again. No, we'll talk about it. It's going to be sweet, amazing, and it's going to be yours. Yeah. All right.
Toilets.
Yeah, that's where the Mets are right now, though. We'll take a break. Greg Olson's going to join us later on in this hour. I will let you know also my thoughts on some positivity. Glass half full for all NFC South teams. Yeah, their best case scenario.
That Mets story could have used some of that positivity.
Hey, dude, I don't know what to do for you. It's just wild. It's crazy. And it's not even June. Oof. Greg Olson coming up. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Greg Olson's about to join us. Derek in Missouri will take your call as Greg is logging in. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rick, it's been a minute.
It has.
I called in. I just got back in town for the Indy 500 the last couple of weeks, and I got to tell you guys, if there's one thing you want to experience in your lifetime at least once, the Indy 500 is that event. There's no question about it. And it was my 19th 500, and it gets better every year.
Wow, 19 of them. Awesome. That's pretty cool. Really What's cool. on your mind?
So I got a question for Brockman.
Ah.
What? Yeah, I know. It's a little bit of a twist and turn today, a little bit. But I'll say, Brockman, so I got to ask, the Celtics, with what they have coming in front of them, what – do you like your chances, whoever, regardless if it's Dallas or Minnesota? And having this extended amount of time of rest, does it help your chances or does it decrease them? Because it could go either way if you think about it.
Well, the finals are starting on June 6th no matter what. But
A week from tomorrow.
Yeah, I do like all the time.
A week
off,
from today,
especially
pardon.
For, you know, get Porzingis back to being 100%. I don't really think it matters who they play. They match up really well against both teams. Obviously, the Luka factor, this guy can take over at any point. We know he can make any shot, and we know he's not afraid of the big moment, and neither is Kyrie. It doesn't really matter to me. I think it's going to be a great.
You just want here, and thanks for the call,
I
Derek.
I just want Banner 18 no matter what.
No, I think you just want a game six is the least you can. Like one more Minnesota home win.
Yeah, one more Minnesota win tonight. Let's stretch that to a game six.
Game six. Keep it going. Because even if that means Dallas would be done on Sunday of that week.
Right, that's 5 days
still,
rest.
They'll still have enough time to rest themselves up.
Sure, but then we're coming off 9. I mean,
I know, right.
One more Minnesota win.
Plus, you know, I would like it to go to Game 7 for a couple reasons. One, it's Game 7. Two, it would allow us to have, at least on Monday or Tuesday, the annual rest versus rust argument. Those are great.
Which, of course.
Those are some of my favorites.
I'm just waiting to see how the national media, not us, can disparage the Celtics and Tatum and Brown.
National media. That's what we are.
Good job, guys.
This man is one of the leaders of Tight End University. He is also the reigning Emmy Award winner for Best Game Analyst. He is our friend Greg Olson back here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Greg? How are you?
Doing great, Rich. What's happening, man?
Where's the Emmy right now, Greg? Where is it?
Oh. Well, if I turned off the screen, it's right behind me.
Oh, really? Oh, but you? Oh, you're branding. I didn't mean.
I'm trying to make sure that way I don't have to sit here and read off the button. You know, I can keep the interview natural. You know what I mean?
No, I get it. By the way, this is a very nice sort of cartoon. Like, who?
It's really good.
Look at the Titan University. The t-shirts, hats, and backgrounds.
By the way, with the sponsors in the back.
With the sponsors in the background.
We got Bridgestone, we got Charmin, obviously the Charmin Berry's right behind my head. They're our presenting sponsor. Bud Light, I mean, we got them all in there, Rich. We're professionals at TE.
That's amazing.
Greg Olson, shameless at this.
Well, we got to pay the bar bill. You know, we get Kelsey and Kittle and all these guys in town and down to, you know, going down to downtown Nashville. Somebody's got to pay the bar bill, you know?
Well, I mean, Kelsey can just pick that thing up. Let's be honest now, right? I mean, he's a game show host. Kelsey's going to be a game show host. Like, he's giving away cash and prizes. What the hell's going on with the tight end group, man? Unbelievable. Emmy Awards, Colin Super Bowls, Dayton Worldwide, you know, famous people, game show hosts, Kittle's Kittle. I mean, there we go.
There we go.
Hey. It's Joe.
Hey.
He's got him. He's both barrels. Oh, he's back to this. Back to the screen.
That was amazing.
Of all the sponsors. Look at you. I don't even know who you are anymore. That's impressive.
Stunting on them.
But seriously, congratulations. You are outstanding at the craft. You work at it. You're great at it. That has to be immensely satisfying for you, Greg. Congrats for you.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been fun. It's been really cool. You know, it's the next best thing to playing, studying it, continuing to see the trends, where the game's going. You know, I've told a bunch of coaches now, you know, being able to have, you know, production meetings with Sean McVay and Bill Belichick and, you know, up and down defensive coordinators, offensive play callers, you know, a lot of guys that maybe when I was playing, I saw the game from an offensive perspective and I studied, you know, my role and what on defense, you know, maybe I wasn't studying all the defensive line stunts and how gap control, you know, all the different elements maybe that now when I'm having these conversations with defensive coordinators, secondary coaches, offensive line coaches, like my kind of expanse of knowledge about the game of football is probably even better now from just being exposed to the people I can talk to and pick their brain than maybe it was when I was even a player. So like for me, as just like a football junkie, as somebody who's just loves the game and loves learning it. And it's been so cool for me to just continue to study and follow where the game's going and try to be on the, you know, kind of the leading edge of that and present the game in a way that people find interesting. I've just really enjoyed it and hope to keep doing it.
Highly successful at it. And we'll return to that subject matter in a minute. What are you willing to share of what Kelsey might say to you about Mahomes and their relationship? Because I'm trying to crack that code here, man. They've reached otherworldly status. They've reached the status of, you know, we talked about Marino and Clayton and Duper when I was a kid, right? And, you know, obviously Manning to Marvin Harrison and Montana to Rice. They are now in that pantheon, Greg. They really are. 100%.
Oh, yeah. And they could go down as the best ever. And obviously all the guys you just mentioned, I mean, more in more recent terms, obviously what Gronk and Brady did. I mean, there's a lot of really good tandems, you know, especially if you focus on just like tight end quarterback relationship. But, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, if they can continue to do what they've shown no signs of slowing down doing, they could go down as the best group. And, you know, the way I look at it and the reason that I appreciate it so much is because the style in which they play was like a style that, again, I'm not saying I was Kelsey and me and Cam, but like that was Cam and I's kind of style where you couldn't really draw the line on a piece of paper. The route might look a little bit different each time. You know, Kelsey one time would run it at 8 yards, 9 yards, 12 yards. And if you asked him, like, hey, why'd you run your route like that? He'd be like, well, because that's how I could get open. Like, that's, I just run where the defense is not, and Pat trusts me and throws me the ball. Like, that relationship, you can't coach. You can't have all of your tight ends run their routes like that. You could only ask guys who have a really close understanding. They see the game through the same set of eyes as their quarterback. And when that's happening in real time, nothing that Travis is doing is catching Mahomes by surprise, and vice versa. Like, that comes with years. That comes with experience. That comes with spending a lot of time together, talking things through. And it's really hard for defenses to defend it. Like, the way I try to explain it, Rich, is like, all week in practice, somebody's wearing an 87 jersey. And it's like, this is Kelce. We need to guard him. We know he's, you know, one of the best guys in the league. And then it comes into the game and it's like, well, what's no one trying to guard him? Well, yeah, the route on Wednesday's practice that the scout team guy ran on that piece of paper card that the coach held up said, run 14 yards, make a left, and catch a dig route. Well, when Kelce does it, he could run out, in, stop, twirl, and run his route at 9 yards based on whatever the defense is doing and just get himself open. Like, you can't practice against that. You can't prepare for that. Like, they are literally improvising to a degree on every single route he runs, all within the confines of the concept to not miss, you know, disrupt everybody else's routes. That, I can't stress to you, like, how special that is, how hard it is to emulate and recreate that. And defenses just have a really hard time defending optionality, right? Just a lot of variance between routes and concepts and end spots. Like, you just can't defend every blade of grass. And they are, of all time, they're in that mix as far as the best that have ever done it. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, I know. And we're here on the cusp of June. So it's difficult to give an answer to the question I'm about to ask. But, you know, the lane in which we're currently residing, sports talk radio, and everybody has pretty much put their rosters together. I mean, here and there we might see a change, but you pretty much post-draft know who's where. So the biggest obstacle to a three-peat for the Chiefs would be what, or which team, Greg, right now?
Man, I'll tell you, it seems like every time we leave them for dead, you know, we called it, we've had the pleasure of calling a bunch of their games over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, halfway through the season last year, and the media, the narrative was they're done. They can't block. Their offensive line hasn't come together like they thought. Their offensive weapons, Mahomes, cannot carry them. Again, with just Travis Kelce, they never should have let Tyreek go 2 years ago. Like, all of the, even though they won the Super Bowl right away,
yes,
like last year, those narratives were starting to creep back. Like, you can't just rely on Mahomes to be a magician. He can't do it all himself, and Andy Reid can only create so much. And then as the year went on, they got a little bit better, and then they found their groove. So I think the only thing stopping them is them, right? I think as long as their best players are heavily engaged, which they show no signs of not, continuing to be committed to doing things at a high level, committed to being professionals, committing to being fear. Like, as long as they got Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones and that, I mean, that young defense is off the charts. I mean, that, we can go on a whole segment on just their ability to weather the defensive turnover, win the Super Bowl with all those rookies 2 years ago, and then all those guys in year two with Spags, arguably were the best defense in the league, you know, maybe in the top handful. Like, for them to be able to do that so quickly and weather the storm was because of Andy Reid, because they had Mahomes, and he's like the ultimate eraser. So, like, they have things that everyone else doesn't have, so they can kind of weather the ups and the downs. As long as Mahomes is there, as long as Andy Reid is there, as long as Kelce's there, and as long as that defense stays young and active and Spagnuolo's blitzing guys from all over the place, come next year in the AFC, doesn't matter who the fun team is, who the story, when it comes down, until proven otherwise, the AFC goes through Kansas City. And it's going to be that way as long as all those guys are still wearing Chiefs uniforms and obviously still playing at a high level.
You may be right, Greg, because, I mean, in terms of narratives, you're already hearing the creep in about who is Mahomes going to throw to this year. And in terms of stopping themselves, I mean, Rashee Rice needed to stop himself from speeding, right, or whatever's going on with him in his life, to be honest with you. And now it's Hollywood Brown in that spot. Can he be that guy? If Rashee Rice is not going to be available even for parts of the season, what about their new rookie that they drafted in Xavier Worthy, right? I mean, we're already in that mode right now. And distractions, things of that nature, Harrison Butker being clearly one of them. These are the things you're already talking about, but we're not playing games. Games start, you look at their schedule. I mean, holy crap, right? Ravens at home, Bengals at home. You want to talk about teams that could potentially mess up their three-peat? Those are two that right off the bat. Then they're at Atlanta, at the Chargers. You know, Harbaugh's back in the mix here. They've got home for New Orleans, a bye at San Francisco. Vegas loves, would love to basically say, hey, we picked up your confetti here in this building, but it's a whole new world, right? Baker, Denver, at Buffalo, so on and so forth. And then you got the whole concept of all those short weeks they play on every day of the week except Tuesday this coming year.
Yeah,
it's going to be something. It really is going to be something, Greg.
Yeah, and remember, the fact that they have had the success that they've had, right? When you talk about, especially in recent years, right, the Patriots, the Chiefs, like in this era of football, when these teams put on this prolonged period of success,
yes,
they are doing it in spite of every single rule and every single institution of the NFL. They are doing it in spite of everything that's in place, right? You are not supposed to win for a long period of time because you're supposed to lose all your good players to free agency. You're not supposed to keep your coordinators because they're going to get head coaches, because the more success you have, the more attrition your coaching staff has. The better you are, you play all the division winners from the previous year in your division, in your, you know, out of division games. So you play a harder schedule. You play more playoff teams, right? Like you get the lower draft picks. I mean, across the board, everything in the NFL is designed for the really successful teams to fall back to the middle, and for the really bad teams to climb themselves up and just put everybody in that middle tier. So for them to continue to overcome all of those processes put in place and just continue to win in spite of turnover at the offensive weapons every single year, you know, mostly at wideout, in spite of 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl against Philly, doing it with like seven rookie starters on defense, who then, oh my God, in year two, these guys are flat out stars and their defense is now carrying the team while the offense kind of found their way there in the middle of the season when they were struggling. Like, they are able to weather things that most teams cannot because they have continuity at the most important spots, head coach and quarterback. When those two spots are stable, consistent, and obviously elite at what they do, you have a lot more freedom and flexibility to struggle on offense because the defense can pick you up, and struggle on defense and break in some new guys. Like, not every team has the ability to weather those storms. That's why you see teams good and then fall off the face of the earth. And then a team that was bad, have a real flash in the pan, make a run to the playoffs, and then the next year they fall out. Like, the NFL is designed for that. So the fact that the Chiefs can continue to weather all these obstacles, storylines, primetime games every week, different days, different schedules during, is only because of the people we've talked about this whole interview. Mm-hmm. And that's the advantage that they have that's inherent that the other teams don't have.
For sure. Greg Olson here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, in the few minutes we have left here, Tight End University, year 4, 3-day event, Nashville, Tennessee, June 17th through the 20th. How many guys are you expecting to come to TEU?
Yeah, so last year we had about 85. So okay. I would say we're going to be give or take in that same 80s range. That's probably about the most we can handle. And you know, I think the coolest thing about the weekend is, you know, we put the whole event on. I know we joked before about the sponsors, but again, in all seriousness, if it's not for Bridgestone and Charmin and Bud Light, and like, we wouldn't be able to host 85 NFL players, bus them to practice, put them up in a nice hotel, feed them, get them physical therapy, training, bring in speakers, flights. Like, we wouldn't be able to do all of this at a high level to make guys continue to come back at the levels that they do, right? To get 85 NFL players to do anything all is a feat of itself. So yeah, it speaks to the event and it speaks to the level in which we've tried to build this event. That these guys have a level of expectation coming in. But I think the super cool part is you have the Kelseys, the Kittles, you know, the stars, right? The star of stars of the positions. Mm-hmm. And then you got young guys that are undrafted free agents, or maybe they were on the practice squad last year as a rookie and they're now trying to make the active roster. Like, everybody there, and we say this, we say, guys, the goal of this little 3-day camp is whatever that next bar for you to climb, whether it's just make an NFL roster, maybe it's make a practice squad, maybe it's become a starter, be a Pro Bowler, make another Pro Bowl, be a Hall of Famer, like whatever that next rung of the ladder is for you, hopefully you take something out of this camp to take that next step. And like, that's the cool part, because everybody sitting in these seats taking in Travis Kelce's route running tape or George Kittle's run blocking tape or Dallas Clark coming back to talk and these veteran, you know, these legends and all, everybody takes back what relates to them and what's good for their career. And every guy in that seat has a different journey. Every guy in that seat's going back to a different role, responsibility, and place on their given team. And that's the beauty of it all. It's not just bringing a bunch of Hall of Fame Pro Bowlers in to just tell each other how good they are. No, it's the sharing of knowledge, the growth of the position, the evolution of the position that we've all reaped the benefits of. And we think it's super cool to kind of pay that forward to the guys that are going to be the next generation of really good players. And it's fun to see, you know, Kyle Pitts 2 years ago as a rookie come, and Dalton Kincaid last year, and, you know, hopefully this year with Bowers. Like, just each year, that next guy, that next class of, you know, highly sought after guys, are you going to be the next Kelce? Are you going to be the next Kittle? Well, it doesn't just happen. Let's tell you firsthand what goes into these guys having the success that they do. And then the question is, are you willing to do it?
Yeah, Sam Laporta too, right? Obviously,
Laporta. I mean, there's so he was at Hawkinson. Our camp last year. I mean, we can go on. I mean, it's just a really cool collection of guys.
Yeah, no doubt about it, for sure. And again, that's coming up later on next month, 17th through 20th of June. Levi's and Gatorade are some of your other sponsors. I don't want you to leave them out as well. I mean,
they're on there.
I mean, dude, you're like a NASCAR hood right now. I mean, that's what you look like. But it's all good. It's all good. There you go. Now, perfect. Perfect timing, though. No, leave it for this moment with your Emmys behind you, because I do want to get to your broadcasting career a little bit. So you're with Joe Davis's crew coming up this fall?
Yep.
The Joe Davis crew. So it'll be you and Joe Davis. Is it just the two of you, or is it the third man or in the booth, or what's the plan? Just the two of you?
Yeah, plan's just the two of us. Obviously, Pam Oliver, legend, is our sideline reporter. So this was the crew that I was with Burkhart back in 2021, my first year doing it, 2021. So Pete Macheska and Artie, my producer, director Pam, was our sideline, and it was me and Burkhart in the booth together. And then obviously when we moved up, Joe worked with Daryl. So I've worked with Joe before again, probably too much information, but when they go do baseball, when Burkhart would have to go do baseball back in 21, they would have to like rotate guys to fill his seat because he went and did the World Series.
Sure.
So I did a couple games with Joe. So I know Joe. I've worked with Joe. He's obviously awesome at what he does, whether it's baseball World Series or playoff games or calling NFL games. He's just good at everything he does. So I have a good rapport with Joe. He's a guy that I've worked with firsthand. So excited to get back with that crew.
Of course, you know, but I'm glad you did get that deep there, Greg, because I want people to understand our business, because clearly, you know, doing the, if you will, a game and calling Super Bowls, that is what we all ascribe to do if we're being an announcer. And the idea that you're not doing that, because Tom Brady is doing that now with Burkhart, and you're with this crew having this conversation of like your thoughts on not doing those assignments anymore after having just won the Emmy for it, is infused with potentially insulting the people you just talked about. You know what I mean? Like you work with people you adore and love and have known and whatever.
Absolutely.
Who work their asses off to make these games as good as anything else. They don't care about A game, B game, C game, honestly. But you know, that is the conversation that is surrounding you, is that you're now with this crew having done the games that are seen in front of most of the country. And I'm wondering what goes through your mind right now, certainly having won the Emmy. You have reached the pinnacle, Greg.
Yeah, so I think you're spot on, right? There's two separate elements to this. And I always make sure that I'm very clear with like how I present it, just out of respect. Because everything you just said is spot on. Like,
right.
My excitement to go call games with Joe Davis and Pam Oliver and Pete and Artie in the truck and our entire crew, like, this is a world-class crew. Like, on paper, you know, obviously every headline is Olsen's demoted, Olsen loses. Like, on paper, I don't care about any of that. Like, this is a world-class NFL production crew. They've been doing this for way longer than I've been doing it. They've been doing this longer than before I was even in the NFL at all, right? So, like, I don't look at this as like I'm going to an inferior crew. It is. That couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
That's one element of this. And I've had great conversations with them, making plans for the season. Then the other element of that is completely separate from everything. You want to call Super Bowls. You want to be on the A crew. You want to be A crew, top crew, whatever the hell we call it. You want to call Super Bowls. I want to call NFC championships with 60 million people. I want to call Super Bowls with 112 million people. I want those spotlight games. I want to present the only game on television. You're tuning in, and my voice, our crew's voice, is laying out how this game's going to unfold, the scenarios, the possibilities, the trends. Hey, here's how they're going to come in. What are the adjustments? Like, unpacking a live NFL game is about as fun. I mean, you know firsthand, it's about as fun as it gets, right? The unpredictability and the excitement and the thinking on the fly and having to do it in a relatively seamless way to present to the country. I've really enjoyed that challenge. So, yes, do I want to call Super Bowls? 100%. Am I content just being a part of the show? And I've said this before, like, I'm not just happy to be a part. Am I thankful for my job? Yes. Am I thankful to be with an amazing crew this year? Of course, this has nothing to do with them. My aspirations have never changed. Just because now that I've done it for the last 2 years and called the top game, my aspirations are even more clear. Like, I want to call top games. I want to call Super Bowls. I want to call the game where the entire country tunes in. Like, no different than as a player. Those are the ones you live for. Those are the ones that you want that pressure. You want that magnifying glass. You want Twitter going bananas, hopefully good, if not, you know, not disaster. But, like, I love that. Like, that's what you strive for. And I'm committed to that path now more than ever. I understand the situation that I'm in. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm thrilled and I'm like doing jumping jacks over it, but I'm a grown man. Like, I understand what I signed up for. I understand the world that we live in, and some things don't necessarily always go your way, but I'm confident that if I can just keep doing what I've been doing, I have a great crew to do it with who continue to make me look better than I am. Can I get back there one day? I absolutely. And when that is, where that is, on what time frame, who knows? But I'm more committed to making that a reality now than at any point in my early career of doing this.
And you've got the want to, the can do, and then just if you need any sort of actual material bauble to point it out, the winged lady behind you is definitely proof of that, Greg. And I couldn't be happier for you, truly. You're one of my favorites, man.
I appreciate it.
You are one of my favorites.
Thank you so much. It's always awesome to jump on
you. No, same here. And I've got Joe Davis coming in next month, too. I'll be chatting with him about this very subject matter and so much more. And I appreciate the time. Say hi to all my friends at Tight End University, sir.
Will do. Thanks so much, man. It's always great to be on.
Do you want to put your background up one more time? Get in, you know, just there we go. Okay, there it is. Hey. Now they've got graphics, sponsors.
We got it all, man.
Toilet paper, beer. They got it all, man.
That's first class.
Look at them tires. Good Lord. Take care, Greg. Thanks for the time, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Great Greg Olson here on the Rich Eisen Show. We got to beat it down the line. Let's take a break. We'll be back here on the Rich Eisen Show in two shakes of the proverbial lamb's tail.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Hey, everybody, fill the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to the high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone, so you could put more food on the flame, and food will taste as good as it looks. Listen, this grill is hot in 15 minutes, and it cleans up easy. You'll cook on two levels at the same time, so you can make enough for everybody. And you can even add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert. Get fired up right now for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. You were nodding your head, sir, as he was talking about the crew he works for, Greg Olson, yeah, I mean, where he's going to work with.
They're amazing. Macheski and Artie have, like, I mean, I've worked with both of those. I mean, they're just... pros.
But you, and you know, again, crews that you work with for football games
are very important.
It's like family. You hang with them all year long. You fly with them. You sit in hotel rooms. You sit on buses. You sit around. You go to dinner. You go to do this. You have meetings, and you have to be a team. You gotta get on the same page. So to keep asking Greg Olsen, hey man, you're like the Drew Bledsoe of broadcasting. You know, I should have asked him if he was was he invited to the roast, Greg Olsen?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't
know. You know, I mean, so, and hey, you know, Brady's taken your gig just as he's won the award for best in class.
Yeah, that's.
And the people he beat are all A-listers and A-games and all that business. So for him to do that and have to answer questions, and I appreciate him being honest with me and us on this subject matter, which is like, hey, two separate issues. Love this crew, worked with this crew, know this crew, lucky to be with this crew, lucky to have this crew. But the crew that calls the A-games, I was with them. That's what I want to do. I want to call Super Bowls. I've called one. Want to call NFC Championship games. I've called them. And well enough to win the Emmy Award for it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So it's very difficult for you, because if you say that, then you're kind of potentially inferring to your colleagues, don't want to be with you. And that's a very difficult spot for him, and I think he's threading this needle expertly. And I think everyone should hopefully understand this about him. And I understand we're talking broadcasting, and it's not rocket science, and it's not, you know, saving lives. It's enhancing lives. It's what I always like to say here. It's not brain surgery what we do here. We're not saving a life, but we're hopefully enhancing your life by either escaping what you want to escape or being enlightened about things that we want to enlighten you on and entertain you. You know? And he's right. Calling games, there's really nothing like it. But I also have a different perspective on it, because everything I've done in my career is either talk about a game before it happens or talk about a game after it happens. Mm-hmm. So to be able to talk about a game as it's happening and describing to you and being the individual whose job it is to describe it as it happens, it's nothing like it. I love it.
No, and you kill it, Rich.
I appreciate you saying that, Mike.
I mean that. You know I...
And I appreciate you saying that.
It's okay.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. Right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.